Good morning again. So this week in Southern Baptist churches everywhere, we're talking about calling out the called. And to let you know what that means, we're talking about calling out those who are called to be God's leaders in the church, to call to preach, to be ministers, to be missionaries. And that's what the emphasis is this week is calling out the called. And we want to do that here at Slackland. We want to call out those who feel God's calling. We want people to answer God's calling, because I believe that sometimes people hear God calling them. I believe Christians hear God calling them to vocational ministry or some type of ministry, but sometimes we don't hear and we don't understand what that is. Sometimes we just don't want to do it. And I think oftentimes that's what it is. So that's what we're going to be talking about this morning as we look in Romans chapter 12. So go ahead and open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. And we're going to look at three verses this morning. Well, we're going to look at some more verses in the Bible, but our focal passage this morning is going to be Romans 12, 1 through 3. And if you have a bulletin, you should see an outline on the back that has information about that. But that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So let me tell you this that's happened to us this week. So this week, my wife Dana went to our house in Prattville. And over the last few months, we've been, or mostly Dana's been. I haven't been going down there. I've been up here. But Dana's been kind of packing up the house over the last few months, because we're here all the time now, and we don't really know what we're going to do with that house, if we're going to sell it or what. But we just want to be ready when God tells us what to do, and so that's what we've been doing down there. And that house is 27 years old, so we've been starting to have a few problems with it because of the age of the house, and you know what I'm talking about. Things kind of break down and we're not there. So, you know, we find out about it and it's kind of a surprise when we find out something's wrong. Things like the week before last, we went down there to spend a couple of days and one of the air conditioning units was out. Well, that air conditioning unit is 27 years old. It's about time for it to go out. So we keep calling the repairman to come and fix it. And it seems like here lately, every year, we've got to call him out at least once or twice during the year. And we're just like, come on, man, just keep it going. Just one more year. And they've been doing pretty good about doing that. And so we know we're going to eventually have to replace that. Another thing that's been happening in that house, we've started having water leaks. We had these water leaks in the last year or so. So what we're doing, when we're up here and we're not going to be down there, we turn the water off because we don't want a leak to pop up in the house while we're gone. And then we show up down there 2-3 weeks later and find out, oh no, one whole wall's fallen off because the sheetrock's wet from the water leak. But let me tell you what happened last week when Dana went there. So Dana went there, and because we're turning the water off, Every time we have to go and turn it back on, and Dana writes down the numbers, and she realized when she turned the water on that the water meter was running. Well, there's nothing on at the house, so the water meter shouldn't be running. It's sitting there spinning. So, you know, that's a warning sign, right? That there's a leak somewhere because there's water running. So that means I'm going to have to go back down to Prattville sometime soon and find that leak and fix that. So I tell you that because we always have warnings come up in life. We always have warnings that let us know when something major is about to happen, right? These small little things should let us know that if we don't pay attention, that there may be a little collateral damage, right? And when a pipe leaks in the wall and we don't see it, we can always expect more damage, you know, because if we don't see the leak, if we don't catch that. But I want to tell you this, we can face similar situations related to the ministry of the church. if we just look, we can see some indicators which point to the fact that something's about to happen if we don't recognize it. Like I want to give you some statistics, and this all has to do with, y'all are probably thinking, what's he keeps talking about these leaks and these damage to his house. What's that got to do with calling out the call? Well, that's where we're about. I'm fixing to get there right now. We're about to talk about that. And I want you to remember how these warning signs can come out, and we've got to recognize it. If we just look, we've got to recognize that sometimes in the church we can see some problems early on that may come up in God's ministry. If it's due to things that we're doing. If we want to serve God, we want to pay attention to those things. I want to read to you some statistics from the Barna Group. So the Barna Group is an organization, and they do surveys and studies on the church and on cultures. And in 1992, the Barna Group reported that the median age, the average age of pastors, was 44. About one third of pastors were under the age of 40, and more than 75% of pastors were under the age of 55. Now, they did this same survey 25 years later in 2017, and in the 2017 survey, Barna Group released research that showed that the median age of pastors had increased from 44 in 1992 to, in 2017, the median age was 54. Now, does anybody see a problem with that? The thing is 25 years later, if the median age is 54, that means that we may have less pastors, less members, less Christians coming to be part of the ministry or answering the call to ministry. That same research showed that only 50% of pastors were younger than 55. And you guys know that when I came here to Slackland, I was 56. I'm 57 now. So I'm part of that group that's over 55. And the biggest decline in 2017 research is that only 15% of pastors were under the age of 40. Now, this is important because you got to remember these pastors, they're just getting older, and there's going to be an issue if we don't have more people answer the call, more Christians answer God's call to come and serve the church. Today, the average age of pastors in Alabama is 51, and 520 past churches in Alabama, that's 17%, are right now today without a pastor. That 520 churches, I'm going to let you know, three of those churches are right here in Cherokee County, right here in our community. And you may ask yourself, why has this happened? Well, there's several reasons. Some of them, over the past 20 years, churches have just spent more time surviving than equipping. You know, and what we have to do, one of our jobs, one of our duties in the church, is the equipping of saints for the work of the ministry. That's what I'm doing right now as I stand here with you today, is I'm standing here with you today equipping you by teaching you. And that's because it's not just the preachers that are supposed to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's every one of us. Jesus gave a directive when He left this earth to go and teach all nations. He told all of us to do that, not just the pastors, not just the preachers. He told all of us. Well, to do that, we need to have teachers, right, to show us how to do that. And over the past 20 years, churches have just spent more time surviving than equipping. And because of that, we've stopped calling out the called in our churches. We've stopped challenging those that are answering a call to ministry. We've stopped encouraging them to do the work that God's called them to do. And because of that, there's a lack of mentoring. There's a lack of disciple-making relationships because we do all this in relationship. Pastors have just been occupied more with member care. After COVID, they've been more occupied with post-pandemic ministry, trying to reconstruct the church and get members to come back, filling staff vacancies to the neglect of being able to find their Timothy, the one that they're supposed to mentor to go into the ministry. And, you know, we see that right here at Slackland, right? We're looking for two positions right now to fill, that of music minister and that of youth minister in our church. And you know, we've just got to start doing that and mentoring and looking around in our church and calling those out who are called of Jesus. And, you know, sometimes it takes us giving them a little nudge. If some of you may have seen somebody before or know somebody in this church, you know, and you recognize quickly, man, God's doing a work in their life. Well, let me ask you something. Have you said anything to that person? Have you given them that gentle nudge? I'll tell you, when I came here from Prattmont, came here to Slackland from Prattmont Baptist Church, the first thing my pastor asked me, well, Jay, who's going to take your place? And I said, I've already got him spotted out. I've been praying about it. Ron Pryor, I believe God's doing a work in him. So the pastor and I, we had lunch with Ron, and I told Ron point blank, I believe God's calling you to be the next men's minister here at Prattmont. And Ron sat there and looked at me. He says, well, I didn't hear him say that. So sometimes it takes a little nudge, but over a couple of weeks' time, Ron prayed about that, and he says, you know what? He is calling me. You know, when I was called to the ministry, I told my pastor that. I said, I feel like God's calling me to into some type of ministry. And my pastor said, of course he is. I've been noticing that for years. You're just now getting it. You know, and that happens sometimes. Sometimes it takes us to call out the call. Sometimes it takes us to recognize that call, because sometimes we don't always recognize it ourselves. That or we're in denial and we just don't know it. So it's important that we do that. More and more young people, another reason that this problem's starting to happen is more and more young people who experience a call are choosing a route rather than traditional pastoral ministry. In other words, they're going the route of being a church planner, which is a temporary call at different churches. Some of them go into a parachurch ministry. Some of you don't know what parachurch ministry is. Well, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, that would be considered a parachurch ministry because it's a ministry, it's just outside the church. I myself, for a time, I served with Men in the Arena Men's Ministries, and so that happens too. But anyone should be able to recognize that what can happen because of this trend of less and less men being accepting God's call into pastoral ministry. So that's the reason our denomination, the Southern Baptist Convention, that we're having this special emphasis this Sunday, because we need to recognize those who are called of God, and we need to call out the called. We as a church of believers need to encourage and educate those who hear God's call in the ministry. You know, Jesus tells us in Matthew 9:37 and 38 that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So let me ask you this, church, this morning. How often do you make that prayer? How often do you appeal to God that he would send ministers, that he would send laborers, that he would have people accept his call to come out, to go out into the harvest? We just need laborers. We need to pray for the current laborers God is calling and those that he is going to call to see his kingdom expanded. That's one of the things we want to do here. That's part of our mission here at Slackland, right? Is to love God, love others, and advance the kingdom. Well, if we want to advance the kingdom, we need to be on our knees, on our face, in prayer, asking God to send workers and laborers to do His work for the kingdom. As a body of believers, we've got to call out the call. We need to pray that God would reveal to us that we're called and what we're called to be. Not only in vocational ministry, but as believers, or also in as believers in our own personal ministry. Because you know what? We've all got a story to tell. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, is calling out, how to, what that means to be called out. And I'm just going to tell you, we've got to ask God to reveal to us what we are called to be. So we're going to read out of Romans 12, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. So I'd ask you all to stand for the reading of God's Word. Okay, we're going to start chapter 12, verse 1. It's just three verses here. In chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." This is God's Word. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank you for life. We thank you that we can come to church today. Father, we thank you that we can read from your Word and we can hear you speak from it. And Father, we ask you to show us in your Word today what it is you would have us do. We ask you, God, to call us out to do the things that you have called us to, and help us to recognize that call. And Father, at the same time, we ask you to lead us and teach us to pray for those that you have called out to do your work. Now, God, open our hearts and minds to what you have to teach us this morning. For it's these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, God calls each of us to present our lives as living sacrifices. He calls each of us to be transformed. He calls each of us to find our true purpose in serving Him. Today, I want to tell you this. I hope that you're encouraged, that if you feel called to ministry, that you would embrace God's call by surrendering fully and allowing Him to work through your life. I'm just going to tell you, you're not going to be happy any other way. If you feel called to do God's work, you're not going to be satisfied with anything else other than being called to do His work. And even if you don't hear God's call to vocational ministry or full or part-time ministry, I hope if you're a believer that you will realize that as a believer, that as a follower of Jesus, you do have a calling. You have a gift. He gives all of us a gift when we come to know Him. And you can use that gift to God's glory. And finally, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I would hope that you would understand that His calling is also for you. He's calling you to full surrender. He's calling you to give your life up to Him. He's calling you to come and repent of your sin. You know, the Bible tells us that today is the day of salvation. And you know what? You can surrender to Him today and answer that call to surrender to a life in Jesus Christ. He's calling you today. And so I hope that those of you that through this message this morning, that you can hear God's call in whatever way that He's calling you. So to all of you, the first thing we see in verse 1 of our scripture today is that to begin your calling to Jesus, you have to be a sacrifice. In verse 1, Paul writes this. He says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, present your bodies a living sacrifice." We need to be a sacrifice. We need to appeal to God's will, That's what that means. To be a sacrifice, we've got to appeal to God's will. We've got to be willing to do whatever it is He's telling us to do. We hear in this pressing plea from Paul, I beseech you, brethren. The plea in this verse, that is that this call requires a personal choice. It's just a personal choice. You've got to decide to do it. Because I tell you, God's calling all of you to something today. It's just up to us if we're going to accept that call. Remember, I said that earlier, that lots of times when we don't answer God's call, it's just simply because we don't want to. That's the reason. Above all excuses, it's just because we don't want to. You know, and we've got to, if we say that we're Christians, if we say that we are believers, we've got to accept God's call. God asks us to offer our whole selves, but we've just got to decide to do it. To answer God's call, we've got to surrender our lives to Him. All of it. We've got to surrender all our lives to Him. Every part. If you are going to live a life for Jesus, if you are going to answer His call, it takes full surrender to Him. It takes full surrender to Him. You've got to give up everything, and you've got to trust Him, and you've got to accept the fact that when He calls you to do something, that you can, no matter what excuse you come up with, He's going to take care of all those things. You need to accept His call. In Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. He's going to take care of everything. If you decide to follow Him and do the things that He calls you to do, you've got to accept the fact that He's just going to take care of those things. You shouldn't have to worry about those things. You just need to let Him to worry. And if you are worried about it, then that's a sin. Because we're to depend on God. We're to rest on Him. And we can't lean into our own understanding. We've got to trust in Him. In Hebrews 13, 20 and 21, it says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom the glory forever and ever. To whom be the glory forever and ever. We have to appeal to God's will. To be a sacrifice, we have to be motivated by God's mercy. Our service should be motivated by gratefulness for God's mercies as they are revealed through His salvation, by His grace, and by Him as the Holy Spirit. Psalms 136. I tell you what. Everybody turn to Psalms 136. It shouldn't take you but just a second to get there. I was going to read just verse 1, but this whole thing is good right here, all the way through verse 26. I don't know if we'll read all the way through verse 26. This is a psalm that was probably written by David. We're not really sure who it was written by, but we do know it was sung in Solomon's temple. And Psalms 136 says this, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Some of you may have a translation that says His love endures forever. That's fine. Verse 2 says, oh, give thanks to the God of God, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. To Him alone does great wonders, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who laid out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who made great lights, for His mercy endures forever. To the sun to rule by day, for His mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for His mercy endures forever. Do you see this here? We should be motivated by God's mercy. And as the psalm says over and over again, His mercy endures forever. So what have we got to worry about? Let's just answer God's call. Let's just do what He's telling us to do. Why? Because His mercy endures forever. His love endures forever. In James 2:13, it says, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I ask you to consider whether you have fully surrendered. If you're not answering God's call, I ask you to, if you have truly, fully surrendered. Are you willing to lay down personal ambitions? Are you willing to lay down whatever it is that you would rather do to be a sacrifice for Jesus Christ? Are you willing to be a sacrifice this morning? Next thing, we have to be holy. In Romans 12:1, Paul writes, to be holy and acceptable to God. Look, to be holy, you know what we've got to do? We've got to live holy. And to live holy, we've got to practice holy living. We've got to, it's something we have to work on every day. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13, starting in verse 13, it says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it's written, be holy, for I am holy. So we've got to practice holy living to live holy. We've got to protect our minds. We've got to seek God's grace. Not continue doing the things that you used to do. We need to conduct ourselves in a way that is pleasing to God. We need to conduct ourselves in a way that is holy and acceptable unto God. And to do that, you know what we've got to do? We've got to pursue holiness. We've just got to pursue holiness. Matthew 5, 48 says this, says, therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, you're probably saying, Jay, did you read that right? Yeah, God is telling us to be perfect just like He is. To be holy, we have to be perfect just like God is. And that means we've got to pursue holiness. It's something we've got to work at every day. Long as we live in this human body, it's something that we are always going to have to work on. And you know what? By God's grace and by His righteousness, we're going to get there. Okay? We're going to get there. In the pursuit for holiness, we have to be sons and daughters of the Father. And to do that, we've got to stop hating our enemies. In right here in Matthew chapter 5, it also says that. He says that we've got to quit hating our enemies. We've got to do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And that's tough, ain't it? Man, that's tough. Some of you sit here and say, well, Jay, I don't know that I can do that. Don't say, Jay, I don't know I can do that. Say, God, I don't know I can do that. Because that's who you got to talk to. That's who's telling us to live this way is Jesus Christ. He's telling us to live this way. He's telling us to be perfect as He is perfect. And you know what? To be perfect as He is perfect, to be holy as He is holy, we've got to give up that bitterness. We've got to give up that hate that we have for others. We've got to pursue holiness. I mean, those folks who persecute you, even though they persecute you, even though they talk about us behind our back, we've got to continue to lift them up to the Father. To be perfect as the Lord is perfect, we've got to actively pursue holiness in the way we conduct ourselves with those who are our enemies. We must be holy just as God is holy. And to answer God's call, we've also got to be transformed. In verse 2 of our scripture this morning, Paul writes, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. So to be transformed, you know what we've got to do? We've got to resist conformity. You know, it's so easy to be conformed to this world. It's so easy to start acting the way everybody else is acting, to go back to living the life we lived before we knew Jesus. But if we are called, we should chase after Jesus and resist conformity. In 1 John 2, 15 through 17, it says this: do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. We should resist conformity and confirm God's call in our life by embracing His transformation of our lives. So to be transformed, we've got to embrace transformation. Ephesians 4:21 through 24 says this: if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So what's he writing about here? What's all this old man and new man stuff that Paul's writing about here? What he's talking about is the old self. Those of you who know Jesus, you have an old self. You know how you used to act. But when you came to know Jesus, all things become new, right? To answer God's call, the new man has to embrace God's transformation. Paul writes about this in 2 Corinthians. He's saying, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So that means that when we to embrace transformation, we have to put on the new man. We become God's creation. We are obedient to His call. We are transformed to do His work. And as we are transformed to do His work, then we also must be devoted. In Romans 12:2, in our text this morning, we've got to be devoted to the call, and we've got to be devoted to the work that Jesus is calling us to. In verse 2 of our text this morning, it says, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What are we to be devoted to? Well, one thing is to our ministry, to the ministry that God has given us. I want to tell you this, we like to, as ministers, sometimes we like to talk about our ministry, my ministry. But you know what? It's not my ministry. It's God's ministry. He just lets me be a part of it. He has called me to be part of it. And you know, He don't need me. He can use anybody. He can use you. Look, the church has been around for 2,000 years. And you know what? Preachers come and go. And God's church has continued to live. Why? Because His church is His creation. It is His glory. But as we serve in ministry, the ministry that He's called us to do, we need to be devoted to that ministry. The ministry that He has gifted you to, we've got to be devoted to that. In 2 Timothy 4:5, it says, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. You know, this verse here, I've got it. I've got a post-it note. I've got it stuck to my computer so I can look at it every day. I get to look at it every day because this verse is the watchword to all ministers. To all ministers and missionaries and preachers, and it's the challenge to all those who serve God vocationally, who are called to do vocational ministry or any ministry. It should be the battle cry for any of us, because you know what? Ministry is tough. It's just tough, and you know what? It's messy. And so you must, in your Christian walk, in your personal ministry that God's given all of you, you've got to be devoted. You've got to endure afflictions. You've got to do the work of an evangelist. And you've got to fulfill your ministry. You must be devoted. You've got to be devoted to your life in Him. 1 Peter 3:15-16 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers," because they will. Continue on, "to as they defame you as you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed." So having a life that is devoted completely to Jesus, it just isn't always easy. It's tough sometimes. People are going to talk about you when you live for Him, and more may talk about you when you answer His call to ministry. It's just a fact. But even through all that, you've got to remain devoted to Him. You've got to have a good conscience when they defame you as evildoers or when they revile your good conduct. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew that you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Praise God that those who endure, and it's assert that those who endure will be saved in the end. Because we've got to answer God's call and we've got to be devoted to Him. We've got to endure, and the way we endure is by being firmly devoted in our call to Jesus Christ. And finally, as we answer God's call, we are called to be humble. In verse 3 of our text, it says, "Not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." You know, Paul stresses the importance of humility, especially to those that are gifted in ministry. You know, spiritual gifts don't equate to spiritual maturity. And those called to serve, they have to guard themselves against pride. And as you answer God's call, you got to be humble. You got to be humble in your service. Matthew 23:11-12 says this, "But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." A person called by God is called to be a humble servant. That's what Jesus taught through his ministry. You remember when, and if you don't think he did, remember when he was washing the disciples' feet? We've just got to be humble. And Paul once wrote in 1 Corinthians 9, "I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more." We need to be humble. We need to be humble in our faith. You need to understand that each person's faith, each person's gifting is from God. Not something to be earned. It's not something that's deserved. It is a gift from God. And by understanding this, we should receive our call with humbleness. We should receive our call with gratitude. Not pride. Not pride. Not because we're able to lord over someone else. Hebrews 11:1 says this, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." We've just got to be humble. We've got to have faith in the calling that God has given us so that we can do these things. God calls us as living sacrifices to be transformed and to embrace the purpose that God has given us. And look, I'm just going to tell you, if you're here this morning and you're sensing God's call to ministry, it means surrendering fully. It means allowing God to do His work through you. He's going to do a work through you if you just allow Him to do it. Now, it's tough because sometimes what do we want to do as humans? We want to tweak it. We got to put our spin on something. I think this might work better. Or we may take the little thing, say, "I'll handle this, God, you handle the big stuff." No! God wants to handle all of it. If we want to be in His ministry, If we want to do the work of the Father in vocational ministry, it means allowing God to work through us by surrendering to Him. Look, if we want to be Christians who call out the call, who encourage and teach those who are called to serve, those that are called in ministry, we all have to see ourselves as parts of the church. We've got to see ourselves as parts of the church body, and that we're called to serve each other too, and to lift up one another, especially those. We've got to, if we want to be church members who call out the call, if we want to be Christians, then we've got to understand that we're called to serve those that are called. Those called to ministry are invited to embrace a life full of surrender and active service. So let me tell you this. If you believe that God is calling you to service with Him this morning, then I want to invite you to share that call with the church. I just pray that God would give you, that He would give you courage, that He would give you clarity, that He would grant you discernment in your call, and that He would give you commitment as you consider the call to live as a living sacrifice and serve Him wholeheartedly. Now, look, I'm not stopping with those, with just the call, because you know what? Those of you who don't know Jesus this morning, I also want to encourage you today. You know, I said it earlier, didn't it? Today is the day of salvation. We read that in the Bible. I encourage you to surrender your life to Him today. You may not even know what that means. I don't know what being called is, Jay. Look, Jesus is calling you to come into Him. He's calling you to accept the love gift of forgiveness that He gives to all of us. He's calling you to full surrender in Him. He's calling you to recognize that the only forgiveness for your sin is by giving your life completely to Him. So you know what you got to do to answer His call? You got to come and admit that you're a sinner. You've got to believe that only He can forgive you of your sin. And you have to repent of your sin. You know, it says in Romans chapter 10, it says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, and you will be saved. So you know what you got to do? You got to confess your sins to Jesus Christ. You got to ask Him to forgive you, and you got to believe that He can forgive you. And then you need to accept His Spirit. So church, let's do that today. Let's call out the called. Let's call out those who are called to ministry. Let's call out those who are called to encourage those who are called to ministry. But most of all, let's call out those who are called to enter into a new relationship and a new life with Jesus Christ. Okay. Okay. Let's stand.